Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April the 29th, 120th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Brian?
Well, I don't know well. I mean, it kind of implies you're in a hole somewhere, doesn't it?
Lassie!
It's always qualified.
Lassie.
It's always a qualified answer.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the things that are going on out there. From the federal level, there are some monies that are available. Humboldt County certainly, we're no stranger to grants. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the opportunities that are out there. And we may even talk a little philosophical about, future of certain departments. We'll do it when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see. Were you a fan of Bella Abzug?
Yeah, I knew Bella way back.
You knew her?
Well, I knew she existed.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
She was all over the place. Those hats were really famous.
Right,
Bella
right.
Bella was, she was a pioneer.
Well, here's a quote you might enjoy.
Yeah.
All the men on my staff can type.
Yay, Bella.
Yeah.
Of course, that was in the days when it really wasn't that fashionable for guys to type. Now, everybody does.
Yeah, something about the computer thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. We have to do it.
What kind of sense do you have about what the governor's edicts regarding the drought are going to mean for our area? I mean, I talked to Dave Hall and our buddies in the water, and it's like, it doesn't pertain to here, but they're going to be held to the same standard.
Yep.
And somebody's got to become the water police, which to me seems like a huge waste of effort. I mean, if you have somebody in the 2nd District that is, let's say, close to the mouth of the Van Dusen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they use the water with the reduction, water gets into the yield, goes in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
If they exceed, who loses? The ocean. What?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like this particular effort was really designed for the areas such as ours that have got the water.
That's exactly right, Brian, and that's why we sent the letter. We tried to get some kind of an input to the governor before they came up with the final draft, and the draft is a little bit more friendly to us, but again, it's all that thinking that you get at the state level, where they're dealing with the traditional California problems, which is that the water is in the north and the people are in the south. And so how do you get water into the Central Valley? How do you get it to the farmers? How do you get it to LA and all of those places? And really, where we are, that's not really part of our picture. Yeah, we're actually very good about water use and conservation in Humboldt County. We've got a good reputation. You don't see huge, gigantic lawns or, water fountains like you do in Nevada or you do in Los Angeles.
Can't afford them.
You can't afford them, exactly.
Either we're growing trees on it or...
Right. So it doesn't really fit. It's that one size fits all. I do see the emergency. Well, now, Beverly Hills is now on the highest percentile in terms of what they've got to cut back. They've got to cut back 36%. But that makes sense. They're using an awful lot of water for their lawns and everything. And
well, the concern I've got, and not pot farmers, whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But the agriculture community, the dairy industry, the ranchers, you know, the producers are being held, or those counties, those jurisdictions are being held to the same. I mean, I'm hearing stupid things like, well, let's just let all the almond orchards die. You go, what?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not the intent, but then again, a lot of the stuff coming out of the state is not driven by intent at all. They don't think that far out.
Well, they're looking at, and this is a fundamental change we're going to have to think about, is just what kind of agriculture can you carry on in California? And so people who put almond trees in there years and years ago are now being asked, well, are you sure you want to do a crop that you can't just cut short for 1 or 2 years? Because you've got to keep watering an almond tree. That's just the way it is. And there's a huge demand for it. People buy almonds from California all over the world.
Well, let's do the same thing and go from Butte County, that few people care about, relative to Napa County and the grapes, or Sonoma County and the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hearing anybody talk about ripping out the grapes.
Oh, no. Well, those...
Oh, no, yes. And that
right,
typically
exactly.
is the response, isn't it?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah,
of course. Well, I think that the fact of the matter is, actually, if you've got vineyards, you can cut back for a year and just let them not go fallow exactly, but not water them, just have them going. So you can kind of cut down on your production. Almond trees, you don't water them, that's it. They're done. You know, that's not to say that we should stop producing almonds, because it's a huge crop for our state. But I guess we're going to have to look at how they can sustain it. You know,
so it is certainly intriguing as a concept to try to figure this out, because we're starting to get into management then,
exactly,
instead of the marketplace.
Yeah. And see, those guys, they're not just dealing, this is a key issue here also, they're not just dealing with the state, they're dealing with the federal government and their federal allocation of water. That's a big challenge for the farmers.
So is the, so what the feds governor have is, changed?
The feds are going to be looking at it too. So I think that, you know, what the governor is doing, and I think this is a good part of it, is concentrating on those places where they're falsely full of water. Wow.
Not false? Full of hot air, full of hot water. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, we were talking a little bit about drought and some of the different challenges that are going on out there. I would imagine that, for compliance sake, that the feds and the state have a huge hammer. Somehow they're going to withhold funding if numbers aren't adhered to. Does the county have any clue at this point what the punitive will be if the numbers, whatever the numbers, reduced water use, aren't achieved?
Not right now. I mean, basically what we're trying to do is make it very clear that we're different. We, you know, and so make it appropriate, you know, location appropriate. I'm not sure what it would be. There'll be, it basically, as I understand it, certainly with the municipalities, it'll be up to the municipalities to put their own mechanisms in place so that there'll be fines, etc. And I know, for instance, in the case of Rio Del, last year, where they didn't put fines in place because people wound up doing what they asked them to do, you know. So
I would think the smaller communities have a higher likelihood.
Yeah, you know,
just because
people understood
knows
it.
Everybody.
It was like, hey, we're going to run out of water if you don't cut back, and you know, you can't water the medians.
Yeah, but you can put statues in there. Sorry, that was Measure
maybe
Z.
Not, maybe,
sorry.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah, but I got a smile on your face, didn't I?
That's a fun one.
So if there are punitive elements associated with the drought, is there an associated positive with the drought? Are there monies? If you achieve it, do you get something?
Oh, are with the drought, yes. There are associated positives. We just have to nail them down. I mean, everybody in the world is throwing, they say they're throwing money. We have to identify how to grab it and use it.
We don't have
we
the
don't
baseball
know where
man,
it is
do we?
Yet.
No. They keep throwing
exactly.
at us.
Yeah, but we, no, there are, you know, there are municipalities. I'm hoping that the county itself can do some work with regard to helping people, incentivizing people to store in the summer, so that you store in the spring, so that they can use it in the summer and
well, we
and
certainly
that kind
sell
of thing.
Enough water tanks around here.
Wow! Yes, we sure do. We're actually had a very nice success recently with a pond that was permitted. The county really stood its ground in terms of saying, "Look, this is well planned. This is a good plan. This works. It will, you know, it'll." Do all of what a pond is supposed to do and none of what a pond could do in terms of harming the environment. And we had a back and forth a little bit with the Fish and Wildlife Service, but they actually agreed with us in the end and signed off. So that pond is going in, and I hope that that sets the stage for incentivizing good water management.
So you had to bow your neck?
No.
As a county to say, no, we're right?
We no,
this
yeah,
makes
no,
sense.
Yeah, we, yeah, we had a good discussion, and it was like, and it was helped a lot by having an advisor to the project who's got a lot of good experience and knew what he was doing. So standing on the private contractor's or designer's reputation was
so everybody kind of knew
to,
everybody.
Yeah, right,
so to
right,
speak.
Right. Hey, you know, this is a guy who knows his work. His work, and so everybody signed off on it, and I'm proud of that. That's
how long
good.
Did that take?
Well, surprisingly little, but we really pushed it along. A few weeks.
Oh, that's a blink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still lining up the backhoe.
Yeah, right.
To be able to get that. Oh, that's yeah. cool. Is that precedent setting?
I would say
others?
That it certainly sets a tone. It says the county is here to help. We really do want to see people do things the right way. There are, if you do a Google Earth and you look at, there's a lot of ponds out there that have not gone through any process, and some of them are pretty dangerous looking. Some of them are okay, but we don't know until we go out and look.
So these aren't the naturally occurring ones. These are the
no.
ones that somebody has just dug a man-made. Hole and let her fill up,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah.
And I bet you they don't have the proper irrigation associated with it.
Yeah, and there's way you can actually use this one was using a pond for surface water, as in not in a waterway. It's like more like rainfall coming into the pond.
So just a
flooding
collector
off. Yeah, a collector, which is different from filling it from appropriating it from a stream.
Yeah, it's
or
not
a
diversion
stream.
Or something.
Exactly,
like that.
It's not a diversion. And that's kind of a cool way to go because we have plenty of rain.
When you have plenty of
when
rain.
When you have plenty of rain. when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, you know, I always go with my mutation, the Morton Salt girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when it rains, you get wet. That's mine. Well, it'll be interesting to see if we have a lot more of those types of.
Well, I'm hoping
ponds.
That people really do come up and think about how they can do things carefully without having too many permits and fines and fees, et cetera, just kind of come into the fold and the county will help you.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. And as a reminder, starting, next Monday, we're going to be doing this thing in the morning, going back to our roots.
Now, when did you leave your roots? I don't remember when that change happened.
Oh, boy. I would guess 15 to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I think something mm-hmm. along those yeah. lines.
So back to the morning. That's good.
Back to
we'll
the morning,
We'll all have
yeah.
lots of coffee.
Yeah, every 35 years, you got to go back to where you start from. Yeah, and I think I have a little bit more attitude than I did then. Just a wee little bit. Oh, boy. Estelle, when we look at the county, I know there has been criticisms directed at X number of dollars, X percent of county X division is grant funded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it used to be the DA. I can remember Terry getting lit up when Farmer was the DA about, yeah. you know, how can you sustain da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah.
Okay, and Public Works has been another area, and certainly yes. DHHS has gone probably the king of all departments in the county for grant funding. But on the flip side, if you don't ask for it, you don't get it, and it goes to somebody else.
Right.
Okay, but you don't want a house of cards. So when you're looking at, or departments are looking at, different opportunities for grant funding, how cautious do you recommend them to be?
I think you do have to be cautious. You have, the bottom line for me as a policymaker is I want to make sure that it doesn't tie us into policies that we don't feel comfortable with. That was really a key concern of mine when the general plan was in front of the Planning Commission. What funding stream you go after can in fact dictate how you implement it. So for things like district attorney, I would say more or less there's very little. I don't think that there's much direction that goes with a grant.
But there's a pound and a half of reporting.
Oh, no kidding.
And documentation.
Pound
so,
yes, I mean, absolutely. Know,
even
yes.
if you have carte blanche, you still have got.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. Well, on the flip side, and this is the part that I maybe understand better now being in here, is that grant funding, especially obviously government grant funding coming from whatever department, is our tax dollars. And if we don't grab them, somebody else will, as you said. So in that regard, I'm okay with it. Who's administering the grant? How did it come about? What are its fundamental goals? There's so much of these grants that are crazy making when you read what's behind them. I mean, and I get to read it now because I get to sign them. I get to sign the MOUs, Brian. I mean, there are some of them where you just have to initial, 5, 10, 20 times on a.
You get a little dingy after a while?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Well, and the thing is that you begin to understand all the complexities behind all of these government contracts, grants, or whatever. And, yeah, you're right. One does have to be careful. Now, people like, say, for instance, Tom Mattson, the director of Public Works, he's really good also at recognizing funding streams, but there aren't that many funding streams really available for infrastructure. I wish there were more because that is a key element of survival, you know, and I'm glad we have the SRAS funding now, Safe Routes to Schools. That's come back to us. It was very, very minimal for years.
Now, I know probably the one that I'm most familiar with that has changed is the school in Redway,
mm-hmm.
elementary school, K-8.
Yeah.
Kind of in your old stomping grounds by Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And they got the sidewalk and they got, mm-hmm. that makes sense to me.
Yep. Well, SRS funding goes for any kind of maintenance on any roads.
So it's roads, not just sidewalks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So it's
but it's not an unlimited fund.
No. For instance,
how do you determine is a sidewalk for the kids to walk on safer than, let's say, maintaining a street? How do you make that call, or is that Tom's determination? And you guys just say, here's your money, go have fun, and make it safer.
Well, I think in large part, it we're basically reactive on those kind of things. You know, there's a lot of concern about the safety. There was a lot of concern about the safety around the Redway School, and finally the funding came through. Now, there are other funding streams for things like sidewalks and access to school that come through people like Complete Streets and those guys.
Well, yeah, like we've got Lafayette mm-hmm. here in our neighborhood, and while the street you could land an aircraft carrier, mm-hmm. well, a Boeing on. I mean, it's...
yeah.
Stunning still to me that it's that wide, but mm-hmm. okay.
Past
public works directors have made past determinations mm-hmm. and department heads and assistants. But neither side has got a sidewalk the full way.
Right.
One is old and it's crinkled and cracked, and the other's got the asphalt curbing mm-hmm. and grass in some areas. So I look at that and go, okay, so if this was a school, as I'm running in my head,
mm-hmm.
both sides would not be a wise use. It's too much money, and there's got to be another school somewhere in the county that could benefit from it. One side would make sense.
Yeah.
So which do you choose?
That's where the experts come in. I mean, I actually did one of those walk-arounds at the Fortuna Elementary, and we did just that. We went, you know, to areas that were planned out, subdivisions that were planned out, you know, in the 1960s, very, very wide streets, no sidewalk. And so now we decide, okay, so which side gets to have the sidewalk? Well, you kind of go with the flow of how, you know, where most kids come from and how they would flow towards the school and where's the crossing and where, you know, all of those things. You try to make it work with the flow of traffic.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, whether it's with grant funding or just the way that the county has done biz. I mean, you talked about the pond, success.
Great.
Safe routes to schools, success. The county is in a transition with the welfare department, DHHS, whatever phraseology we want to use. Way back in, I guess it was two decades ago now.
Yep.
I got lippy and at a weak moment got put on the Humboldt County, advisory on the Humboldt County Economic Advisory, was.
Okay.
And at that point, was a big fan of consolidation because of the efficiencies associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand, and none of us understood or anticipated what would happen in the next 20 years. So rather than making it difficult for DHHS recipients, the applicants, and each community kind of having to deal with their own, we put it all together in Eureka and said, make it so. Bad move. Because now Eureka is dealing with more than its unfair share.
Mm-hmm.
And other communities, now why they're getting off and not having quite the same impact, there's this concentration. And
yep.
We see it all over the place. And I would suggest that if it was more challenging to get, there'd be less trying
mm-hmm.
to get. So as you look at this change, and whether they're four assistant directors mm-hmm. or deputy
yes.
directors or whatever the title
yep.
is, are you looking at a favorable, let's keep it as it is, or are you looking at four different departments, each kind of tasked with their one area, and kind of separating and breaking and allowing a little bit more fine tuning and going after their individual missions rather than this big broad one?
I think we really need to take a look at it, Brian, and I think we will. We'll take a professional look at it, an efficiency look at it. I think it is too big, to tell you the truth, and I agree with you. So what we have to decide then is what makes the most sense and what is the most manageable. But at this point, clearly, given what has happened, I would say that there may be more efficient ways to do it, and that's certainly what we'll be looking at. And it's, you know, I really appreciate the director giving us a year notice to say, yeah, I'm out of here, because that gives us the opportunity to be wise about it, you know, to really move forward in a proactive way. And this is something I just gave a little speech the other day at the League of Women Voters, and you know,
oh,
so
that's right.
Yeah,
I understand. I really, you got fancy dressed for that one too.
Oh yeah, who told you that?
Yes. Well, let's see. Who do we see that day? I think Karen Deemer. We saw and Ryan Sundberg, and you know, everybody from the peanut gallery that knew when to clap.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But my point was, part of the things that we have to do is we have to embrace change, and it can be a little concerning to people who kind of been going along at a certain clip. But everything's changing, and we have to be willing to change with it. And so, I would say to everybody, both to clients of all of these services and to the people providing them, the employees, and everybody, all we're trying to do now is make things work a little bit better. And
how does work better get defined?
Well, that's where you look. Now, I'm not an expert at this, but what I could tell you is if I'm going in there, I'm going to be looking at what's working and what isn't. And how do we make it work better? You know, there are definite problem areas, and that's what we need to address.
You know, and you sucked up all the time, so I don't have the opportunity to share with you my weird idea.
Oh, no.
I've got one. Well, we'll just have to
figure
out.
We'll talk about it next time.
That's right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
Actually, I do have an idea, folks.
I want to hear it. I really do. What is this? You're done the last minute.
It's time to go home. Enjoy tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you tomorrow.